This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me again to the fourth chapter of Matthew. And we're going to be just here for just a little bit of time. Actually, we've studied down about verse 12. And now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And from there, you're not hearing me.
And did you push the button?
444, that's going. Let me check a couple of connections here.
Pastor Andre,
yeah.
You have audio.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me okay now? Okay. Anyway, let's turn. I read the statement that now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And there's very little here or in the other three synoptic gospels about the life of John the Baptist and his ministry. We will see later on how that with Herod and Salome, he was pleased by her dance, and then her mother had instructed her if when he wanted to reward her up to half of his kingdom, Salome's mother said, "Give me John the Baptist's head on her charger." And it's interesting. John was an Old Testament prophet, really, even though we read about him in the New Testament. But he was preaching to the Jews under the law. And the Jews had worked out a system very much like what we see in the world today, where people have this rule, that rule, and another rule, but it's all things that they perceive that make them holy, that make them righteous. And they don't view the law for what the law says or what the law demands. The law demands perfection. And none of us are perfect. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it can't possibly be that we would get back into the kingdom of heaven the way we were exited from the kingdom of heaven. Adam and Eve were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when you think about that, what is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, it's what we would call man's morality. You know, touch not, taste not, handle not. And the devil tempted Eve with that tree and deceived her and promised her that, you know, this is really, really rather remarkable when you think about it. Adam was created in the image of God. Eve was created from a rib from Adam's side. So they were both in the image of God. But the devil was still able to deceive her with the concept, well, the day that you disobey God, he didn't put it that way, but the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is morality, you'll be like God. And so she was deceived, and she ate of that tree, and then after she ate of the tree, of course, she immediately fell, but she gave also to her husband. And the scripture tells us, with respect to Adam and Eve, that Eve was deceived. The devil fooled her. You know? And this is why Paul tells us over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man." It's not because women aren't intelligent or anything of the sort, and some of them are much more intelligent than men. But Eve was deceived. And because of her deception, God placed that prohibition on. Okay? Yeah, that's the only reason. Now we see churches of virtually every denomination, because of the feminist movement, churches of virtually every denomination now have women in the pulpit. Yeah. Now, there's lots of things for women to do in the church, but one thing they're not to do is usurp authority over the man. And, of course, if they're pastoring a church, they have to usurp authority over the man. So in John's ministry, we'll start with verse 1 in the Gospel of John, and then we'll get into the ministry of John just a little bit. But John was emphasizing to the Jews what they were before the law. Guilty. Yeah. And there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But John also emphasizes at the same time that he tells us of the ministry of John the Baptist, he also tells us of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he's here to do. Okay. And so as we begin in verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, in Archaean Halagos, and the Word was with God, you know. And Kaifeas and Halagos, and the Word was God. I memorized that verse years ago in Greek, and I can't remember all of it now. But this Bible of ours was written in Greek. So when the King James translators were given the responsibility, there were many, many Bibles being used throughout England. And so King James gave an order, and he said, we need one Bible for the whole nation. And the job was given to 70 elders from the, or 70 Greek scholars from the Anglican Church. And they spent time and translated both the Old Testament out of Hebrew and Aramaic, and the New Testament out of Greek, and that gave us this King James Bible. Now, what we need to understand is today there's a movement, particularly amongst Baptists, that say that God preserved his word in the King James Bible. Well, the King James Bible didn't come along until 1611. You know. So, how did God preserve his word before that? Well, he preserved his word in the Hebrew and Aramaic and in the Greek. And the translators translated from those languages, but they also did comparisons with other English translations. And since man had had a period of time to insert his doctrines into the Word of God, we see that in some of the translations. You know, they're not translated, for exactly what God said. And so if we really want to go, to what he said, we have to go back to the Greek. And, you don't have to be a Greek scholar. Eric's never studied Greek, but I made sure that he had an interlinear translation so he could see it in the King James and see it in the Greek. And then I gave him also a concordance that compares those languages. And then what we would call a dictionary that gives you the various definitions. Okay. And so one book will show you, it'll show you every word in the New Testament, the way it's written in the Greek. So then when you're studying and you're looking at an interlinear translation, you have the Greek and you have the English together, but you can look and see that sometimes the translators didn't translate everything. And sometimes it's proper because the Greeks used a lot of definite articles. Now if I was going to refer to Aaron as my son, I'd say he's the son of me. If I were saying it in Greek, I would use the definite article. I only have one son, he's the son. Okay. And so as we go through Scripture then and we see these things, we need to recognize when the definite articles are needed and when they're not needed. For example, when it speaks of Paul, it doesn't speak of Paul, who was also Saul of Tarsus. It speaks of him as the Paul. And when it speaks of John the Baptist, it's the John the Baptist, or the John the Apostle of the Lord, as opposed to many other people who are called by the same name. So references to the original language then become very important in our interpretation of Scripture. And I did a study, oh goodness, I don't know how many years ago it was, now probably 30 or more. But anyway, I noticed in the book of Romans that we had sin in the singular preceded by the definite article, so it wasn't referring to sin in general, it was referring to the specific sin. What specific sin? The sin of Adam. Now, what did the sin of Adam give to us? It gave us a knowledge of good and evil. What is a knowledge of good and evil? By definition, it's man's morality. All of the religions of the world, then, are based upon man's morality. Except biblical Judaism, and I have to preface it with biblical, and biblical Christianity. There's many Jews that have no concept of the Old Testament scriptures or no concept of the need of a Savior. They believe that they can be justified before God by their interpretations of the law. Okay? So then when it comes to the New Testament, and we find that because of a lack of study, and remember Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, so if we're going to rightly divide it, that means we have to rightly interpret it. And that sometimes takes definitely it takes study, but it also takes a view of the original languages. Now, for example, people have the idea that after you're saved, you're no longer sin. Okay? But the New Testament teaches us there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So are we in this church age any better than the Jews were in the age of the law? No way. See? Was anybody saved in the age of the law by the performance of the law? No way. See? Because therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. Well, in God's sight, lots of Jews were justified in their own eyes. And lots of people under the canopy of Christianity are justified in their own eyes. But how do you stand before God? The only way we can stand before God is in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we don't have that righteousness by works of righteousness which we've done, but we have it by God's grace through faith. So when John the Baptist was preaching to the Jews, he was using the law lawfully to really kick the living daylights out of them so that they would see themselves as sinners. Now, the common people went out to hear John, but the religious leaders, what need have we of somebody that runs around in a camel's hair garment with a leather girdle, and that eats locusts. Yeah. What need have we to go out there? But they were curious, and they came to the ministry of John. And John, by the way that he preached, convicted every one of them, but it didn't change most of their minds. The scripture says that the common people heard him gladly because the common people were not all tied up in the performance of the law by Jewish tradition. Okay. So they still had minds that were receptive to the concept, you know, under law, if you failed under law, you were to bring the appropriate sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle. And there the priest would lay his hands on the sacrifice and confess, you know, or you would lay your hands on the head of the sacrifice and confess your sin. Then the priest would slay that animal and oftentimes burn it on the altar. It just depends on what sort of a sacrifice it was. But without the shedding of blood, there was what? No remission. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. Now, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, we're told, could never take away sin. So what was the law for? The law was designed to make us guilty, to show us that we have all sinned and that we've all come short of the glory of God. So when John was dealing with the common people, that's what he was preaching. But first of all, we want to learn about a little bit about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he was, and then we'll get into the ministry of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God and the Word are one and the same. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Made by whom? By the Word. We read over in the Old Testament, God's, cursed the original creation, but then he created a new earth, you know. And so who did that in the Old Testament? God, you know. In the New Testament, it's the Word or Jesus Christ. Is there any contradiction? No, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God. Okay. And we have, in the founding of this country, we had many people who came to this country from England, and they did a tremendous job in writing the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and things of that sort. And these men all profess faith in God. Yeah. And so our Constitution really is based upon that. But then at the same time, where all these men say, no, you know, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, could not put his mind around the Trinity. You know? And he was very upset with the Presbyterians because they were Calvinists, and Calvinists believed in the Trinity. And Servetus, who couldn't find in his Euclid, as Thomas Jefferson wrote, that three could be one and one could be three. Now, Euclid is the father of mathematics. And if you study geometry at all, you know that three is one and one is three. In fact, in an isosceles triangle, every angle is the same, you know, and the length of every side is the same. Otherwise, if one side was longer than the other, the angles couldn't be equal. So we have one triangle with three parts, and then when we get to ourselves, what are we? Are we just a body? No, we have a soul, a conscious part of us, see? And so the conscious part of us deals, until that individual is saved, they deal according to the way the world thinks and according to morality. But then we all realize that, we can't get to heaven by the life that we live. And I remember back when I had rheumatic fever and I was extremely sick, missed a lot of school, There were days that I laid in my bed, you know, think about rheumatism and fever, and with that you get an enlarged heart, you know, and the heart's so big that it doesn't beat properly, you know. And so they discovered that in me when I was about 12, and I missed a lot of school, and so I thought a lot about death. And I always was able to quiet that within me with a concept, well, I know I'm not very good, but surely I'm not bad enough to have to go to hell. Okay? And that's the way the world thinks. That's the way the Jews thought. You know, that's the way the whole world thinks. And they all have systems of morality, which they call religion. They give them the concept that on a, you know, a grading on the curve. When I first started grammar school and was learning math, if you had 100 math problems in order to get 100% or an A, you had to have 100 math problems right. You know? And if you only got 75 right, then you only got 75%, that was a C, you know, and somewhere in between was a B. Yeah. And after a while, they changed it and they grade on the curve because nobody could do 100 math problems because they quit teaching fundamentals. And I don't care what subject you're dealing with, you need to know the fundamentals. Okay. And in the Bible, if you don't know the fundamentals, you're going to be led astray by the very fact that, you know, 2/3 of the Bible is under law. And no one can be saved by law. But since 2/3 of the Bible is under the law, and people, you know, are reading it, Sunday school publishing houses are publishing literature for children, and they come out with the idea that, Abraham was perfect. No, Abraham was a sinner saved by grace. You know, David was perfect. No, David wasn't perfect. He was a sinner saved by grace. You know, I don't care who you take. Moses, who God gave the law to, was still a sinner saved by grace, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So it says of Jesus that all things were made by him. In verse 3, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, that is in Jesus Christ, the Word, was life. And only in him is life. Okay. And we're not talking about natural life, we're talking about spiritual life. And the life was the light of men. Now the whole world in darkness. They all think according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the light shineth in darkness. So, you know, through the various Old Testament saints and through Moses and the law, light was shined upon the nation of Israel to reveal that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And in this age in which we live, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The light reveals what we are, you know. I happened to be watching How It's Made, and they were dealing with light bulbs and talking about how they've developed and so forth. And, initially light was what? From a candle or an oil lamp or, you know, some sort of flame, a torch. So the light was... didn't really illuminate everything. See? And man's knowledge of the Word of God in times past was so poor that it didn't illuminate things so much. But when Jesus Christ came into the world and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me, now we have the light shining exactly on the problem. See? So it says, in Christ was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. The whole world is in darkness. And in order to be illuminated, we're not talking about the light of the sun or of the moon or a candle or a fluorescent lamp or anything of the sort. We're talking about light that shows who we are. And that's what John the Baptist's ministry was for the Jews. So there was a man sent from God. His name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might do what? Might believe. Believe what? I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. See? But the Jews didn't think that way. The Jews thought in terms, I can satisfy God by the life that I live. All of the religions of the world think the same way. But it takes the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, for us to realize there's only one way into the presence of God. Now, we live in a politically correct world. And a politically correct world, have you ever known the politician that told the truth all the time? No. No. You ever know any individual that ever told the truth all the time? No. Not even those of us who are redeemed tell the truth all of the time. You know, because we still have a sin nature. Even though God has said that he's hidden our sins behind his back, he's buried them in the deepest sea, they're removed from him as far as the east is from the west. Think about that. If you start west, you know, you're always traveling west, and you come around, and you're still going west. You may pass the same place all the time. So, separated, our sins are removed from us. So, as far as perpetual motion, you know, continually circling east, you know. So you never catch up with what you really are. Okay. So John was the true light, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not the light, speaking of John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So what was John preaching in the wilderness when he told the Jews to repent, change your mind, and then he was promising that they had to be baptized, and the baptism was a portrayal of what was going to take place in Jesus Christ. Now, John's baptism didn't save anybody, but it, for those who believe what John said, they had salvation. See? That Christ was going to die for their sins, according to the scriptures, going to be buried, and going to rise again the third day. And so, when Jesus came to be baptized of John, John said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus says, thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, I have to come, and as portrayed in baptism, I have to die, I have to be buried, and I have to be raised from the dead. Yeah. Because in Jesus Christ only is there life. Okay. So that's why Jesus was baptized. He wasn't baptized because of personal sin and needing a cleansing. And baptismal waters don't cleanse. They portray. And so when we're saved and we finally realize that we're sinners and Christ died for our sin, then we're told to be baptized. Why? Because in water baptism, we portray outwardly what's taking place inwardly. You know, we're dead in trespasses and sin. We died with Christ. So the scriptures teach that when Christ died, we died with him. When Christ was buried, we were buried with him. When Christ arose from the dead, he left us with resurrection life, but we've not yet been raised from the dead. But we have that hope. And we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So our soul immediately goes to a body which the Lord prepared for us in heaven. Remember, Jesus promised, In my Father's house are many dwelling places, translated mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So when Joanne died last December 6th, they came and picked up her body. We donated it, and she was later cremated after they got anything that was of medical value from it. And then they cremated her, And did we burn up Joanne? Well, we burned up the house that she used to live in, but she was translated immediately into the presence of God, into a body that the Lord went to prepare for her. And she'll remain in that body until the day of the resurrection, and then God's going to raise her body from the dead, as he's going to raise ours. And all those that have preceded us in death are then going to be reunited with a glorified body, a body without sin. That's our hope. And we can't do that. The only person that can do that is God. So John was in the world, and the world was made. Christ was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many of his own, the Jews, as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So they were given the power of faith. We are, in this age, given the power of faith. For by grace are you saved through what? Through faith. And so he says, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but were born of God. That's why the scriptures refer to be a birth from above as a new birth. And Nicodemus said, how can I be born when I'm old? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? Well, that's, you're way too big to do that. That's not possible, but you have a birth from above, and that's really what the word that's translated born again really means, born from above, which we call the new birth. Now, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we're talking about the Word who is God, who in the beginning created everything. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we come back to John the Baptist now. John bare witness of him. So John was not preaching that the Jews needed to repent and that you have to change your mind and begin to live a more holy and perfect life. That's what all Jews believed that they could do. So that's why they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But they couldn't. So John bare witness of him. That is, he bore witness to the light and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, in terms of birth upon this earth, John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. But John the Baptist alluded to the fact that Jesus is the eternal Christ. And so we read, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, or grace for the sake of grace. God is a gracious God. But before the fall of Adam, he had no way of expressing his grace. And he knew from before the foundation of the world, because God is an eternal God. He's an omniscient God. He's an immutable God. He doesn't change. So he knew that when he created Lucifer, that Lucifer would fall and he would have to judge the original creation. He knew that when he recreated the earth after the fall of Lucifer, that recreation of the earth was kind of a parable though it happened exactly as he said, it was sort of a parable for us that when we're first born, how much light can we see? Paul said to the Corinthians, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And you'd be amazing how many fundamental theologians have gone out of their way to say that the new believer isn't sinful. Yes, he is. He'll never cease to be sinful until he's resurrected or that he passes through the veil of death. Okay? So, it says of Christ, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for the sake of grace. The law was given by Moses. And we could put it this way, but the truth of grace came by Jesus Christ. It says grace and truth. No, the truth of grace. Now, it was revealed all the way back in the Garden of Eden when God promised the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. It was manifested by all of those God made a sacrifice for Adam and Eve. Abel made a sacrifice for himself. Cain thought that he could have a relationship with God based upon the works of his own hands. So those two are contrasted. And people to this day believe that Cain just brought what he did and Abel brought what he did. And it was unfair for God, not to consider what Cain had done. No, Cain had been shown by his father, Adam, that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And God gave him the chance, and he said, if thou doest well, thou wilt not be accepted. And people say, see there, he could do well. No, if thou doest well, conditionally. Well, he wasn't capable of doing well. But he thought he was. And that's where we find so many people under the canopy of Christianity, under the canopy of Judaism. We don't speak of any other canopies because there's no truth in them. But there was truth in Judaism, and there's truth in Christianity, but all people that call themselves Christians are not in the truth, because of the lie of the devil. They're still being deceived by the same lie. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, this is John the Baptist speaking now. No one has seen God at any time but the only begotten Son. Christ was virgin birth, born into this world, which is in the bosom of the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He hath declared him. So God has declared to us, or Jesus Christ has declared to us, God. Okay? Now God's incorporeal. God is the Spirit. You can't see spirit. I have a body. You can see that. I have a soul. You can't see that, but that's reflected in my personality. And I have a spirit, a regenerated spirit, which is manifested to you in the messages that I preach. They come from the Word of God. They don't come from me. I'm told to study to show myself approved unto God, but I have to put some fuel in for the Spirit of God to you. Because I can't talk about anything I don't know about, So, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I've been doing this for 65 years or more, because I was preaching long before I was ordained. And I've been ordained for, 61 years, something like that. So, he goes on to say, and this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? By what authority are you doing the things that you're doing? And he confessed and denied, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Now the Jews were looking for the Christ, but they were looking for a political leader that would put down their enemies and establish a kingdom over the whole world. They had convoluted or mixed up the truth of the Word of God with their own desires. And that's pretty much what has happened under the canopy of Christianity. Okay. And we have to consider, are we better than the Jews? No, in no wise. In order to be please God, without faith, what? It is impossible to please God. So, the other night I, after I had my cardioversion, my blood pressure was, or my pulse was really low, down to 50, and my hands were cold. My heart was just barely, and I think my blood pressure at that time was 105 over 50, pretty low. Yeah, but I had, and I didn't know until we filled the prescription, I had taken my normal prescription. But then Dr. Carnum had changed my prescription, and so even though I'd put in for a refill, so I could take 75 milligrams twice a day, which is a lot, he changed it to 25 milligrams a day. Yeah. And I'd already taken it before I learned that. So things got pretty low. My hands were cold. There wasn't a whole lot of blood flowing through my veins. And so I found some tequila in the cupboard. I haven't been able to drink for years. I can't even drink a beer. Yeah. But, we used to have a glass of wine when Joanne and I would go to the coast and get some, good, fish and chips, and have that. And then I'd almost always have a glass of, I always forget the name, but Riesling. Because Riesling is not sour, and it's not overly sweet, And when Eric got married up at the winery, they had wine that was so tart, it was undrinkable, and the other was so sweet, it was undrinkable. So I made Riesling out of it. I mixed the two, and then it was drinkable. At that point in time, my blood pressure was under control, so it wasn't a problem. Then it got to the place where I couldn't drink anything at all. And there's nothing wrong with having a drink. Scripture says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Okay. And our, what did our Lord keep communion with? What did the whole Christian world keep communion with until the latter part of the 19th century when Welch finally canned grape juice to keep it from fermenting? They all kept communion with wine. And it's a very important reason. I talked about it last week. There is no leaven in wine because in the fermentation process, it becomes alcohol. And so alcohol speaks of the Spirit of God. We even call alcohol spirits. And nobody knows why we call it spirits. So I'm going to read a couple of more verses, and we'll try to come back to this next time. So they ask him, what then? Art thou Elias or Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Now, he wasn't teaching them to make straight the way of the Lord by a moral life. Make a straight path to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one sacrifice for sin, for what period of time? Forever. No one was saved by law. No one could be saved by law. No one was saved by animal sacrifice. The just are lived by faith, and the law is what? It's not faith. The animal sacrifices were offered in faith. If they were just offered in tradition, they didn't accomplish a thing. But if they were offered in faith, saying, I have failed before the law, or even before there was a law, I failed in that through my parents I ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The original parents were Adam and Eve. Okay. And so until the law came 1,500 years later, there was only one law. Well, the Lord added one more in about capital punishment. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so they asked him in verse 25, and then I want to quit at verse 29. They asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? Well, the prophet is Jesus Christ. So their understanding of their own scriptures was all messed up. See? And so he says, I baptize not with water, but in water by immersion. Baptizing with water, they basically all baptized in water until the 12th century when a Roman priest drowned an infant by immersion. Apparently he didn't put his fingers over the infant's nose and his hand over his mouth, as I do to this day when I immerse people, so that they won't accidentally ingest water. Yeah. And so a child was born, so they changed the system and made it into, they were baptizing infants from the get-go, but then they made it safe to baptize infants by dipping their finger or a lily in the water and making a cross on the baby's head. Yeah. Pure paganism has nothing to do with faith in Jesus Christ. So, John spoke those things. These were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, and John was baptizing. Okay? And now we're going to go back next time to the call. See? So John was baptizing near Bethabara. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold whom? The Lamb of God. So every sacrifice from the Garden of Eden to the present time, God promised that without the shedding of blood there was no remission. God had to clothe Adam and Eve in the skin of an innocent victim, no doubt a lamb. That lamb had to give its life. It had to shed its blood. The gospel was portrayed there. Yeah. And so, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away, not sin, the sin. The sin of Adam, and because of the sin of Adam, we've been made of one blood, therefore we're all sinners. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love to us and your grace, and for the ministry of John the Baptist, the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. John just showed forth the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We do the same thing in this age by taking the gospel into all the world and preaching and teaching that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. We praise you and thank you for these marvelous truths. In Jesus' name, amen.